Support for Living on Earth comes from listeners like you. To make a donation, please use the link to the left of this webpage. And thanks.
From the Jennifer and Ted Stanley Studios in Somerville, Massachusetts, this is Living on Earth. I'm Bruce Gellerman, in for Steve Curwood. President Bush doesn't score high marks on environmentalist report cards, and Congress doesn't do much better. But with just a few months left to his term, the president and lawmakers are trying to create an environmental legacy. Living on Earth's Jeff Young hit the trail to learn more.
Wilderness advocate Mark Miller leads me through Virginia's Shalver's Run Wilderness to a rocky outcrop he says has one of the region's most spectacular views. Now, I grew up in the mountains, so I've got a pretty high standard when it comes to pretty scenery. But when we reach the cliff, I have to admit, he's right.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty.
This is what you would call a million-dollar view. It's just a series of sharp ridges with very narrow valleys. And from Potts Mountain, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 ridges that we can see from this location.
Wow.
The view also represents 7 years of work by Miller and others with the advocacy group Campaign for America's Wilderness. That's how long it's taken to get the aptly named Virginia Ridge and Valley Wilderness Bill before Congress. 1,500 acres of the wooded slopes we see here would become wilderness, as would another 42,000 acres in other counties, the biggest such land conservation measure in Virginia in 20 years. Much of that acreage only made it in the bill after long negotiations with county officials, bear hunters who wanted hunters with disabilities to be able to drive into the brush, and mountain bikers who jealously protect their trail access.
Yeah, we worked with the mountain bike community in some places. We worked with the horse community in others, and we worked with hunters in other communities.
And I guess that meant, you know, from a hardcore wilderness standpoint, you had to give up a little bit.
Yeah, we had to make compromises. But I think that the end result was that we had a bill that a lot of people could support, and you try and ram something through a local community and you're dead before you even get started.
The work paid off. The bill held together through committee debate in Congress and is now part of a package of wilderness proposals from other states, including West Virginia, Idaho, Colorado, and Oregon. Campaign for America's Wilderness Executive Director Mike Matz says Congress could create more new wilderness areas this year than it has in the previous 5 years combined.
There are about a dozen of them that seem incredibly viable this year that could make it to the president's desk.
What's going on? Why all these all of a sudden?
Well, it was kind of nice timing, I think. Many of these things had been sort of percolating through, and then all of a sudden the stars aligned. They'd gotten the kind of support on the local level that they needed, and the leadership changed, and the leadership definitely is more favorable towards these sorts of things. It's been less of a rocky road to hoe to get them done.
When Republicans controlled Congress, California Representative Richard Pombo controlled the House Resources Committee, which considers wilderness proposals. In 2004, this was how Pombo explained his opposition to a proposal for Washington State's Wild Sky Wilderness, which would have included some areas with a few old roads and culverts.
I believe wilderness is a very special status of protection that we have as a tool to protect land. It is not something that anyone ever imagined that we would be including roads and bridges and dams and developed areas and try to call them wilderness.
Pombo blocked the Wild Sky proposal 3 times. But in the 2006 elections, Pombo lost. Democrats took control of Congress, and West Virginia Democrat Nick Rahal became chair of what he renamed the Natural Resources Committee. And this year, the Wild Sky Wilderness became law.
I think its reason is a difference in philosophy. A lot of these are Republican wilderness bills. They never could see the light of day when that party was in control of this committee. Maybe they viewed it as locking up or preventing development, but under my leadership, I think they have deserved to be recognized and passed, and we've done that.
Rahal says a bipartisan approach to wilderness is important, and the proposals that succeed are those with strong local support across party lines. Which brings us back to Virginia and Mark Miller. We take a break not far from the Brush Mountain section of the Appalachian Trail, another area on the verge of wilderness protection. We skip some stones in Craig's Creek.
Ooh, good one. That's hard to beat.
The community near here is very conservative and not inclined to like big government telling them what they can and can't do in the forest. It might have seemed Miller had an uphill battle here at Brush Mountain.
But the word conservation is the root to conservative. And these folks wanted their land behind their homes conserved.
Miller knew people in the area were also concerned that a proposed high-voltage power line might come through here, something a wilderness designation could keep at bay. That helped him turn local skeptics into ardent supporters.
A lot of times what the folks in the local community say is, we want it to be just the way it is. And one of the ways that you can make something stay just the way it is by giving it a wilderness designation. We'll be long gone, but it will still be here.
In wilderness is the preservation of the world, wrote Henry David Thoreau. For this little corner of the world, that preservation is nearly here. For Living on Earth, I'm Jeff Young in Virginia's Jefferson National Forest.